Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. With your host, Rick Alexander. Today, I am chatting with Lissa Scott. She is a mind, body, and soul coach. She's also the host of the Maximum Potency podcast, which I've had the pleasure of being a guest on. Lissa, thanks for joining me.
Rick, thank you so much. I'm so stoked that we're doing this today.
I am too. I'm really excited. I think the intersection of our work is something that the audience will get a lot from. So we'll just explore that intersection and see what comes out of it.
Love
so
it.
On all of my short podcasts, so of course, like I think you've listened to Morning Coffee, so I do a short podcast. I like to kick those off with a quote that kind of talks about the show or whatever. So I was looking through some quotes that I thought reminded me a little bit of your branding and your movement and what you're trying to do in the world or what you are doing in the world. So I thought if you're down for it, I'm going to kick this one off with a quote and then I'll just let you react to it to start this thing off.
Yes, I can't wait to see what you're going to say. Go for it.
Okay. So Arthur Gordon is the person that said this. He said, "Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. In the past, whenever I had fallen short in almost any undertaking, it was seldom because I had tried and failed. It was because I had let fear of failure stop me from trying at all." What do you think?
I'm nodding in approval. The first thing that comes to mind is that quote that's just like, doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will.
Totally.
Which I think you may have shared that one in the past. But the being bold thing is like a very, very central part to my personality. I am like, show up. And if people don't like your flavor, at least they have a definitive yes or no. Show up your boldest self 110%.
Yeah, I love that. I love that because the at least part, right? So it's like, you know, there's one quote that I really enjoy. It's like, fortune favors the bold. And I've always wondered why, right? Like, why is that true? It does seem to be true. And I love this idea that like forces will come to your aid. So I like to pull apart the hero's journey a lot in my work because my second book is really all about the hero's journey. And I think we're always on some sort of a hero's journey ourselves, whether it's an internal journey towards some sort of inner growth or wholeness or an external journey toward creating a business or whatever. Well, there's a stage in the hero's journey that is rarely talked about in the literature, and it's where the hero has to let go of all of the things that they're holding on to that are keeping them safe. And the reason they have to let it go is because on their journey, they're going to find mentors and aides and people that can help them get them where they're supposed to be, but they can never get those things unless they first let go of whatever it is that they're holding on to. And so as you are creating these businesses and stuff, have you found, right? So we talked about pre-show a little bit that you've changed your branding from Lissa Scott Fitness to Maximum Potency. Have you found letting go of things that you've found success on? Have you found that they've kept you from getting the success that you want? Has that been an easy process for you? I think so many of us don't want to let go because we're too afraid to have nothing for a second.
Yeah, so two things that are coming to mind right away. Number one is you have to let go of the good, the things that might even be good, they might even be bad things, in order to make space for the great to show up, the extraordinary to show up. And it's like, I always give the analogy of a little kid with a soggy cookie in their hand, and they're screaming and crying because they don't want to give up their cookie, but you're trying to give them a new cookie, like a not soggy cookie. And they're just screaming and so attached to it. And I think that's so often what we're like with God or with the universe, where we're hanging on to this thing that's sort of okay. And the universe can't even give us the phenomenal thing because we're too stuck on that. So there's definitely been traces of that in my life. The other thing is, on a fitness journey, you might know some things that work pretty okay with you. And I tell my clients this all the time, you might have some things that work, but stop trying to do your program and try the program. Mm. So again, that the great can show up, right? You might, you can always go back. You can always go back to the thing if you have a thing that works kind of okay. But in the business and in branding, it's been more of a sensation of like this nudge, internal nudge of like, you have more to teach. You have more to teach. You have more to teach. You're not just a fitness coach. Like, there's plenty of people out there teaching how to move your body. And that's a huge part of, I think, success in life is having a movement routine that serves you, whatever that looks like for you. But for me, it was more like this knowing of just being open to adding, being open to teaching more. Even though I'm not an expert, right? I might not be the expert. I might just be on a journey. And if I'm able to even be 3 or 5 steps ahead of you, I can say, come with me, take the path less traveled, right? I'm not like here pretending to be your guru. It's like, let's do this life thing together. I've identified some patterns and some growth mechanisms. Let me share them with you. It's a coming alongside more than a, I'm on a pedestal and you're way down here, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's okay. I want to unpack both of those. So the first one is the letting go. I see it in relationships a lot too. I don't know if you do, but people are in relationships that aren't serving them.
They're like, meh.
But right. But they can't let it go because some part of them feels like it's all they'll ever have perhaps, or, you know, it's like the scarcity creeps into our thought process and it really screws us over in the long term.
That gives me the chills because that's the area that I learned that lesson first. Was like, you have a sort of okay relationship that's working in some ways and definitely not working in some ways. And you're too scared to give that up because you're just afraid that it's this or nothing. And then switching your mindset to, no, it's this or something better.
Totally. Well, nothing might be the prelude to something better. That's what's so important. It's like, you maybe you need nothing for a while. I know in my life, I was sort of serial monogamous for, I don't even know, from 15 to like 30. And when I realized like that nothingness is actually what I need because I didn't know myself well enough. So I didn't know how to satisfy my own needs. And so me going around projecting that, expecting my partners to do it, it's like I'm putting them in a game that they can't possibly win and then putting the pressure on them and it's just crumbling the relationship. And so realizing, yeah, we need to, we just need to create more space in our lives, I think at the end of the day, for these good things that you're talking about to make themselves known to us. And so my question for you in that rambling response is, what do you suggest for people that are having so much trouble letting go?
Stillness.
They're stuck in the pattern, stillness.
Yeah, get really still. Figure out, A, what the pattern is. So if you can identify, like over the course of like, let's just say, I always tell my clients, like for a week, observe your thoughts around XYZ, money, relationships, food. I don't care what it is, whatever thing you're feeling stuck in. See if there's a thought that's on loop and then we can unpack that. But in order to do that, you have to be still and you have to reflect. And I think that same thing with feeling those nudges or pulls or hunches, however you want to say it, those all require stillness. And if you're someone who has a hard time sitting still, try walking in silence. Like it doesn't actually have to be sitting still, meditating on a rock, right? It could be another form of stillness, a place where you're letting your mind wander and you're just letting the thoughts come through and you're just observing the thoughts. I think that a lot of times in those moments, those are the moments where you're in tune with your gut.
Yeah.
Hey, I need to leave this relationship. I don't know why. You don't have to know why. You might just know that that's the thing. And over, day after day, that's the thing. You can be pretty sure that's the thing.
Totally. Yeah, that answer right there, I think you probably just let quite a few people out of their cage. It's like, you don't have to know why. Like, I think for you, when I was on your podcast, actually, you asked me when I could know when it was time to pivot. It was like, well, for me, you know, I didn't necessarily know why I wanted to leave a certain relationship, but I did know that I'd wake up in 10 years and just absolutely hate my life. And that had to be enough, unfortunately, you know?
It is enough. I think especially I can speak for the women. We feel like we have to say yes, but, or no, but, and explain our yes or no, our leaving or our going or our coming or our staying. Like, sometimes you just internally know, and not second guessing that, trusting your intuition and leaning into it. Look over your shoulder. Like, have you been able to make decisions in the past that were true to you? Because chances are you have some evidence of that. Like, I think a big part of growing up for me was realizing I could trust my decision making. Like, Lissa, you know when you want to do something, or Lissa, you know when you don't want to do something. Look, X, Y, Z, right? Yeah. And leaning into those and feeling sure of your answer. Like, when you're sure, you're sure. You don't have to know why.
Totally. And we do often, you know, I can't really speak to the women part, which is great that you can, because I think even in my life, I feel like there are so many times where I feel the need to justify myself. Like, even, you know, people ask me, like, going back, like right now I'm back in a graduate school program and I'm studying divinity, and people always ask me what I'm doing, and I always tell them, and then I feel like, oh, and now let me tell you why I feel like this is an okay answer. Like, it's interesting. And then, you know, when you do that, it's like you instantly give them the power to dictate,
like, tear you down.
Yeah, right. However your life should go.
Yeah. And it's like when you hear, I don't know if it was you that said this to me or someone else, but when you ask someone what they do, right? And they're like, oh, I'm a doctor. Oh, I'm a scientist. They don't start explaining why. They just say that's what they do. And right. For whatever reason in the coaching space, it's like, oh, I'm a coach. And then it's this word vomit of like why that's okay and why you're successful. Right? Like, okay, all right. And you just did. You gave up your power. You gave up, like, you're holding your ground. I don't know. It's so interesting.
Yeah,
it is. How we do that.
Totally, right. That's exactly it. And so I am interested in, do you find, like, with the clients that you work with, I've kind of exited the coaching space for the most part, but do you find that a lot of your work is teaching people how to maintain their power, how to empower themselves?
So my process is a little bit more like, identify what's not serving you and release it. Pour in art, pour in good ideas. Your mind is a garden. What are we feeding it? This whole thing. And then it's like, own your power, your feminine power, your masculine power, your boldness, your self-confidence, your self-expression, like really holding that and realizing that you don't need anybody's permission to do you. Right. But I think that can only happen after we're like clear on what we want, clear on what's in the way, clear on the fact that we've decided and committed to this journey. So yeah, that's definitely a part of it. A lot of it is in that stage of the coaching process, like, girl, you've got this, or dude, you've got this. Like, don't second guess yourself.
Right.
We got this far. Right. It's a lot of encouraging.
Yeah. 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 Like to and encourage, like literally to instill courage in, right. Mm-hmm. Huge. And I think that, like, what you're saying there too is, you know, releasing is such an empowering act in itself, because, you know, we live in this impermanent world. And so you don't have to just hold things until there's nothing left and it's created a mess out of the situation. And you actually can gracefully allow things to leave, let things go, and you find maybe more harmony with the impermanent world of which you are a part.
Yeah, I always say it's like an exhale.
Yeah.
Just like, we don't need that right now. It's not like it'll never be good again, or it'll never be relevant to look back and reflect on or anything like that. I think so often we think of releasing as erasing, and it's not erasing. It's just exhaling.
Right. That's great. I listened to a lecture on waking up on like the Buddha's nirvana, let's say. And people often think of nirvana as this like constant ecstasy, when actually what he was saying is it's actually more on par with what in the Western mind we would think of as an exhale. It's like a permanent just letting go and allowing things to just be exactly as they are and realizing how perfect that actually is.
And just bring it like full circle, an exhale. You never sit around and think, I let go of that air. There's not going to be new air to breathe in.
Right.
At peace with the fact that you're going to have another exhale.
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, if you don't let that oxygen go, you'll die. So you actually have to let it go, which is an interesting part.
It can't be stagnant. Right. Exactly.
Totally. Cool. So then the second part I wanted to unpack from that was just this idea that you can always go back. It's like, I think the rat race is always hiring, you know? It's like, even when, whatever bullshit job, like, report we get from the media, it's like, listen, like, there's always people that need you to do their bidding. And so if you decide that you need some more time or it's not going to work, you always can go back. I think that is the thought that gave me the courage to walk away from my 9-to-5 fully, was the thought that it can go back. Now, once I walked away, I realized, oh, I'm never going back. Like, that's not on the table. But it was the thought that I could that gave me the courage to actually walk away in the first place. Have you found something similar in your pivot?
My thinking was almost fully aligned with what you just said. When I was quitting my first 9-to-5 after a year and a half. In the last 6 months of that, I spent crying on the way to work every day, which for someone as happy as me speaks weird volumes. Very, very strong, you know, no. I was getting the no every day from the universe. Like, this is not your thing. And so I remember quitting that job and expecting parents, grandparents to be mad because they were so behind my college education. And it wasn't so much the job. I thought it was going to be the, well, now you're not using a degree spiel that I was going to get from them. And there was a lot of resistance there because I love them. I don't want to let them down. But my mom was like, Lissa, you can always get another job. Like, who cares about the hole on your resume? I was originally taking time off to travel, and I traveled for a month. I was supposed to travel for three. Some life cards got shuffled around, and I just realized that was actually a window. Fulton was like, you have rent paid for 2 months still, so let's hustle, right? And without going off on a crazy tangent about that season, because there is so many lessons in that, I did know that if at the end of the 3 months I couldn't pay my rent for the next month, I could go get another job. It's like, you know, you're hireable. You know, you've been hired in the past. You know that if you have to, you can. And you just kind of lean into that. But then in the same time, as soon as I had the taste of not having that 9-to-5, I was like, oh, we're never going back. Right. Heck no. It's like, once you drink the entrepreneur Kool-Aid and you realize that you are an entrepreneur, going back to a full-time job feels like committing suicide. It's entrepreneurial suicide.
Totally. Totally. Because, like, your soul just feels like, oh no, this isn't what I'm here for.
If you're an entrepreneur on Indeed.com looking for a full-time job, you are like the equivalent of suicidal because you've literally given up on your mission. Like, it is so crazy. You know, you're in a bad place when.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I think, like I said, I mean, it's just understanding that that is an option that will give you the courage of going out. And also I think so it's like, entrepreneur now is a little bit like what Rockstar was in the 90s, right? It's kind of like the the awesome job to have. Everyone wants to be a CEO. Now, that will go away as soon as people realize it's just as much work as it was to be a rock star in the 90s, right? It's not this, like, given thing. The barrier to entry is low, so you can start anything. You can start a podcast today if you want to, which means that you have much more opportunity, but the work is, you still got to commit to the actual process. Now, one thing that I found, and I don't recommend this to people, and I'm interested in your experience as well, is I had a side project for a long time and with marginal success. But the minute that I lost the 9-to-5 fully, it's like when I committed to showing up for myself and my business fully. And that's when things actually changed. It was like that Cortez moment when he burns the ships because there is no retreat. It's like, I needed my back against that wall so that I would do all of the things that I needed to do to actually make my business work. And then I realized, oh, that was the missing element. It was me giving all of who I am to this thing. Were you able to do the side hustle thing, or what did that look like for you?
Yeah, at one point I had 7 side hustles, and that was still not a 9-to-5, even though it was probably the same amount of work.
Right.
And I was okay with that. It was like, death before desk job. That was the motto for like a year. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you're not going back to the cubicle life.
So same thing, really.
Yeah. And then the other question is to ask yourself, are you somebody who does really well under pressure? Like, cause you were saying diamonds are produced under pressure. That pressure allowed you to finally put the pedal to the metal and like go.
Totally.
For me, pressure is really paralyzing. Mm-hmm. So I've had a difficult time weaning off of all 7 side hustles. Because they're basically a cushion to not fail, right? And so that was my struggle, was not so much, you know, going from full-time job to no job, but slowly letting go of those things. If I'm totally under pressure, my creativity is stalled because I'm thinking about the bills that aren't paid, or I'm thinking about this. So making sure that you have enough work, whether it's your own work or external sources that are feeding you work, like someone giving you clients, like for, I'm doing part-time graphic design for someone, things like that, so that your bills are paid, so that you can give yourself the space to create. But at the same time, making sure that there's enough motivation and fire under your ass to do the thing. And that looks like a unique balance for everyone, I think. For me, we've gotten down to one baby side hustle, and it's a win-win situation. It's like remote graphic design and coaching, and it's just full send right now. And that's like a happy place for me versus the scattered seven side hustle girl.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's a great point, because it is definitely, I've also heard of a lot of creators that once they put the pressure of having to their creation to having to pay their bills, they start really falling apart, and they're not able to create fully because they don't have the freedom to do so. So like, I love that, like you're saying, is to like use these to make sure that the nut of your life is taken care of. The bills are taken care of, the big thing. And then at the same time, you're able to focus on whatever you think your work in the world actually is.
Yeah. So if I can just elaborate on this too, is make sure that your expenses are as low as possible. Right, you have to downgrade now for a year or two while you ramp the side project up, or your main project up. If there's any advice I could give to somebody who's trying to find this happy medium, it's like minimize expenses so that your side hustle time has to be less in order to pay them, right? If you can get a super lucrative side hustle like waitressing or bartending, where the hours aren't a lot, 10 to 15 hours can pay your bills a week, that leaves you your whole rest of your week.
Totally.
To dump, you decide how many hours into the thing, into you and into your project. Self-growth is huge. An hour of growth a day, however many hours on your project and however many hours at work. Like, that was my magic recipe, if you can call it that.
Yeah, yeah. And that the compound effect of doing that every day and every week is like, over the course of years, you're a whole different human. It's like, you know, even in the last 2 years of really having dedicated time to work through my thoughts and to develop myself, it's like, I look back, it's like, man, I was in a stalling pattern for years simply because I didn't commit to that time for myself. But you brought up an amazing point right there, which I tend to overlook, but I did do the same thing. I paid off as much as possible in my last year and a half of my job, so that when I got out, I was like, well, worst case, I can just have no money and no food, you know, but like, I won't be drowning in debt at least. So that was huge.
Yeah. If this is the year you quit your job and you work minimally and hustle to the max, this is not the year to buy a new car, buy a house and get married. It's just not, it can't all happen at once. Unless you come from a wealthy family, maybe, I don't know.
Right.
If you've got some unique circumstances, do your thing. But for me, it was like, oh, I want a new truck. Oh, that's not happening until something else happens first. Priorities.
Yeah. Now that brings up a kind of an interesting point right now too, which is a lot of people's job just quit them. So a lot of people just found that the universe pulled something away from them. Now I think there's an opportunity in that, right? Always. There's chaos is always opportunity if you can find it. And so I think there's a number of people that probably fall into the category of, I hated my day job, but I would have never left. Now you've been given the opportunity. It's like, I guess my question for you is, do you have advice for that group of humans?
So when it was kind of a forced ending, you're saying?
Yeah, so like the pandemic, just a lot of people probably lost their jobs now. Or were fired or downsized or whatever. So they lose that job. If they're being super honest with themselves, they probably weren't super happy there, but they were happy enough. Right? They would have kept it for years longer. Do you have an advice for that group of humans?
They were kind of hanging on to the soggy cookie. It was that crowd, right?
Yes, yes, exactly.
The advice you're asking for is how to kind of make the most of this season for them.
Yeah. So how do those people in that situation actually make it an opportunity?
Yeah. So I think that a lot of them, I know unemployment's going to apply for a little while.
Totally.
So create first a question runway. I would ask is, does that pay your bills? Are your bare minimum needs met? If the answer is yes, and you're okay with being on unemployment for a short window, use it and start your side hustle, right? Make your own schedule. Act like you're working for yourself. Get a taste of how that feels. If that feels good, how long can you play the game? Like how I did. What side hustles do you need? Start. Just start. The other thing is, if you're not comfortable with collecting and you're like, well, I want to be employed, I want to find employment elsewhere, is there a thing you've always wanted to try? Like, this is so random. I don't know if anyone knows this about me. My audience will probably listen to this episode and go, what? There was a season in my life where I didn't know, it was after I quit my job, I didn't know if I wanted to start a food truck, become a coach, or go be a carpenter apprentice. This would have been the perfect season to go dig into one of those things. Because guess what? They're still serving food and there's still carpenters at work. So even if it's obscure, even if it's like a, you went to school for graphic design, but you want to go lay tile and cut wood, go. Like, why not? And so if there's an obscure occupation you've been wanting to try, go try it. I think it's just a season of try it.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. I love that. And I think that it's worth mentioning that it's not always about the thing, but like it's learning to follow that voice. That's really important. So you might do carpentry for 2 years and be like, okay, this isn't the thing. It actually doesn't matter. It's not about the thing. It's about the journey, because there's really nowhere to get in this life. So understanding that this process might just move you 2 feet to the right, and 2 years down the road, when you're 2 feet to the right, you meet somebody else. It changes your life 10 years from now. That's the process that we should walk. That's the goal. That's the path. You really don't need to worry about this next thing being the thing that can hold your identity and your entire life and worth.
It can just be a thing, not the thing.
Right.
Yeah. And that's fine if it's a sidestep. I think that was my restaurant job for me was a sidestep. It was like, my bills are paid. I don't hate my life. I'm in a position to be creative. Get yourself into a position to grow at the very minimum.
Mm.
That's find it. A growth environment, find a non-toxic workplace, somewhere that you
struggle
can
in the right way, right? It's like, because if you
fail forward,
right? Like, you're talking about growth, you know, you only grow and struggle, but like, you know, crying on your way to work every day isn't necessarily the growth that you're looking for, the struggle that's going to produce Amen. The growth, you know? So like, it matters that you pick a struggle that's actually worth you, that's worth your time and your investment in your life,
because you're going to struggle no matter what. I mean,
the
entrepreneur struggle is a whole nother struggle. It doesn't even have to be that struggle. If you're just curious about trying something, go try it. I think that it's a missed opportunity if you try to keep putting the puzzle piece back into a slot where it clearly doesn't fit.
Right.
Like, try a different puzzle piece. That's all you're looking. Still, not might not be that piece, but just try it. Pick up another piece and try it. I think it's the bottom line there. Yeah.
And you know, there's this point, and I can't, you know, I only have my life, so I have an N of one to look at for this experiment, but being a writer is the thing for me, right? I can look back at my life now and I realize, a career at Special Forces in the military, and the time that I was a carpenter, and the time that I was a personal trainer, and the time that I was whatever, all of those things were leading me to this point. It's like a thread that like went through my entire life, that I wouldn't be half of the writer I am now had I not had all of those experiences. And so I think we discount our culture, the way that we think about our lives. We tend to discount momentary experiences if they don't end up being a forever thing. Like, we think relationships that were 3 years were like a waste of our time if it didn't end in marriage. And it's like, but is that true? Because maybe you were just learning about this whole life thing, and maybe you needed to go through that.
It's like you're being sculpted by your experiences, this whole thing. And something that totally changed my life right along those lines was the thought that I am being given the experiences necessary for the evolution of my consciousness. Not to get super deep, super fast, but sometimes it has to be said, right?
Yes,
you just think of every experience as like one page of your book, it's like, I needed that, or my story wouldn't be complete.
Totally.
Oh my word.
I wouldn't see things exactly the way what I see them now.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think that's one of the ways you know you're in the thing, not just a thing, is when you're able to look over your shoulder and go, holy crap, my whole life makes sense now.
Totally. And also to say that doesn't mean that you're the last thing, right? It's evolution constantly, because when I started coaching people, I felt like I was like, oh, this is amazing. I have all these experiences I've been through that I can draw from. And now I've evolved into writing full time. It's like, but I took all of that with me, all the client experience. And so it's just this constant evolution that if you can be open to it, it's like constantly gets better. Like you get better, you could say. Maybe life still is hard and you're still going through tragedy and struggle, but you can actually become better.
And you can have that insight, right? You're now looking at experiences as something to be appreciated and learned from, instead of happening to me, happening for me, this whole shift. Like there's all these shifts I feel like that happen in the mind. And it's so fascinating to look at someone like you, someone like me, who have had vastly different life experience and go, yo, I had that same moment too.
That is right? Crazy.
What you just said, like when you look over and you start to appreciate things for the way they come together and make you a whole, then nothing's a wasted experience. Right. It's all like valuable, even the failed relationship or the job you hated or the whatever.
Totally. Right. And failed is arbitrary because again, like if you took this much from it, it'd be hardly, you could consider it a failure, but we love our labels and the way the things we're attached to, what success looks like for us in the West. And so I think letting all of those go is super important. So there's another part of this journey that I found to be particularly difficult that I'd love for you to talk about if you have any experience with it. So when you're in a job, and you could think about this, like when you're moving up a ladder in any kind of job or anything, you know what the next steps are. And when there's a problem, you have a boss to go to, right? When you're an entrepreneur and you have a problem, it feels like you're stranded on a desert island sometimes. And you're like, I don't know what to do. So was there a process of taking control of your own growth for you and being able to get yourself through these experiences that you would normally get stuck at, whether it's an income level or whatever problem comes up for you? Have you created some kind of a system to help get yourself through things when there is no path, because you're just kind of walking in the woods making it up?
Yeah, so number one is just a commitment. And this is an underlying commitment that I remind myself of daily, weekly, whenever I need to. An underlying commitment to my path. And an underlying commitment to the path less traveled. And the fact that it's going to be, you know, you're going to have to bushwhack along the way. Because guess what? It's the path less traveled.
Right.
Just an acceptance of that idea, first of all. Second of all, try everything you know to try. Try everything you know to try. And if you're in a hurry or you've tried everything you know to try, seek out a mentor. There's always someone who has been in a similar place, and it is up to you to reach up when you need help. Fortunately, I enrolled in a coaching program before I was a coach. I knew I needed someone to help me synthesize my ideas and extract my genius from idea to actual thing. I needed help in that process, and so I invested. The investment was less than a semester of college. That was how I rationalized the investment in my head. Is I was like, this is like half the price of a semester of college. Like, what's the worst that could happen?
Right.
I learned from it, right? You have that mindset, that growth mindset. And that has been huge. It's just, even now I'm in a community of entrepreneurs that at least when I have a problem, I can say, have you guys ever had this problem? Chances are someone has. And if they haven't, going to my, I also have a one-on-one coach. Yeah, this is what I'm dealing with. In my experience, coaching isn't a new industry. There's other coaches I can learn from. So even though it's the path less traveled, there has been other people to walk it. And that's been huge.
Yeah, super important. Community and mastermind and like other people that are walking in a similar direction is just so massive, because that I think is a real problem. It's like you start running into problems, you look around and all your friends have 9-to-5s are like, well, I don't want to tell you, like, I don't know anything about this marketing problem or whatever. So yeah, just building the right connections in the entrepreneurial journey is massively important.
Nor do your friends probably have the capacity to hear about your marketing problem.
Totally.
So it's like, do I want to be that friend that's always talking about my business? there's a fine line between your friends being nice friends and listening and them being like, wow, what are you saying right now? Just totally losing them. So yeah, realizing that probably you're gonna have to make some online relationships. They might not be the people in your backyard. And if they are, you're very, very, very fortunate.
Totally. Yep. So my personal rule is 90 days. So like if I struggle with a problem for 3 months and I have not solved that problem for myself, I hire a coach and figure it out.
I love it.
Yeah. That's my first. Cause like, you know, I realized, you know, I've told my audience this before, but the thing that made me really step into buying a coach is I did a coaching call with this girl. She was great. Talked about like what I would want and all this stuff. You know, and then a year went by, I ended up not hiring her. And then a year went by and the reminder was still in my calendar. And so it popped up like coaching call. And I realized 1 year had gone by and I had not progressed in my business or life. And I was like, never again. Like it was so in my face that I was like, I made this rule and I for the most part, stick with it. Like I will not fuck with something for more than 3 months. It's like, I can't stay stuck here. Sorry.
Yeah. I like that. That reminder was both awful and awesome for you all at the same time. You're like, oh God. But at the same time, look at you now, right? New method. For me, it's like seasons of coaching. I'll get coached and then I'll implement kind of everything that coach taught. And then I'll wait a month or two and I'll start looking for a new coach. And then seems like they fall out of thin air.
Totally.
It's like I start talking to someone. I'm like, wait, you do this? And they're like, yeah, I do this. And I'm like, that's what I need. Like, it's never this crazy, like Google search craziness. It's just people coming to you at the right time, law of attraction style stuff.
Right. Yeah. And that comes on the back of learning not to force things, not to do the Google search thing for days and days and trying to force whatever it is that you need, being open to, like, it's almost like you are engaging in a reciprocal relationship with the universe or God or whatever it is that your belief system gets you to.
Yeah, absolutely. It goes back to the stillness thing. Follow the hunches. Like that is one of my core things that I do and preach doing is if you're feeling inclined to go explore something, listen to something, talk to someone, go do it because you don't know what's going to come from it.
Totally. So talk to me about Maximum Potency. What you did this brand change. That's the name of your podcast. What does that name mean to you?
Yes. That name in a nutshell means rip on life for every single thing it's worth. You're giving life a run for its money. Mm-hmm. That's the idea behind that name. How we do that looks different for each person, but there's a few core things at work. Your physical body needs to be in a good place in order for you to thrive. You need to be really clear on your mindset and what's between the ears and how you can utilize that to your advantage. And then your soul. You got to get really honest with what your soul actually wants. Because I could give you all of the guru mindset, do this, do that in the gym, and you could still be really unhappy. And so if you're not yielding to your own soul, right, we don't really have a whole lot. So smashing cultural norms, supercharging your body, and getting into that flow state where you feel super like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. That's what I do with people in that business. And it's my heart. It's my heart. It's my life's work.
I love that term, yield to your own soul. That is massive, right? Because it's so easy to follow the blueprint and forget that one piece that will change everything.
I think we're all guilty of trying the blueprint.
Totally.
Maybe without question in a lot of scenarios, right? I didn't question whether I wanted to go to school or not. I just was supposed to go to college, so I did.
Totally.
And learn from it, whatever. But what would happen if we yielded to our own soul first, right?
That's a dangerous question.
That's amazing.
Right. Yeah, I think that is the adventure of a lifetime, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Following the soul is the adventure of a lifetime. So, and you have a coaching group that's coming up in September that is actually focusing on that particular thing that we were just talking about.
Yeah. So it's called Break the Stagnancy. It's a free coaching series that starts September 4th. And we are exploring the mindset piece. So I'm going to touch on nutrition, touch on fitness, but that's certainly not the focus. That'll be like a tenth of it. The other 90% is what's between your ears and what the heck do you want? Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Like, let's go. And let's break the stagnancy. Let's break the funk that we're in. And I'm going to give you guys tools for momentum and tools for clarity to find the dream gratitude exercises, et cetera, coming cool. at you guys. So
do you have a sign up sheet? Do you have a sign up sheet we can put in the show notes of this episode?
I linked to the Facebook group. So it's just a group that they'll join. The okay. secret password to join the group is in all capital letters. Send it.
Nice. Perfect. With a space or all one word?
All one word.
Perfect. We will link those up in the show notes of this episode. So before I get into the final question, how else can people that are just interested in the things that you're saying and this maximum potency lifestyle that you're advocating for, how can people follow along with your journey, support you, and learn from you?
Yeah, absolutely. So Instagram is my primary platform. It's at maximum potency. My name is Lissa Scott. You'll see my little picture pop up. And then my podcast, the Maximum Potency Podcast. Those are my two main ones. Feel free to DM me. Super active in the DMs. Love to just have a conversation. And then I also, if you guys feel called to work on nutrition, have a nutrition program that's just nutrition, no mindset. And I have two spots opening for that in September as well.
Awesome. Dope. Well, we will link up as much of that as we can in the show notes of this episode. Final question. I've added some flares to this, so people have heard this before, but if you could have coffee, morning coffee, with anybody in the world, dead or alive, and also fiction or nonfiction, who would it be, and then what would you want to talk about?
Yeah, the fiction or nonfiction, that's a loophole.
Right.
But no, my dad passed away 11 years ago, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely want to have coffee with him, because I miss him. And I would want to talk about what I'm doing with my life now. I offer his guidance and approval in my life, and being actually to have a conversation with him in real time would be just like so cool. Because in my dreams, when I sometimes visits me in dreams, he never actually speaks. And so I just haven't had an actual conversation with him in 11 years, which is crazy. So that's definitely, without a question, who I would want to have coffee with.
Awesome. Well, that's an amazing answer. Lissa Scott, thank you so much for joining us, for sharing your story with our audience, for being super open and just sharing your passion.
Yes, Rick, thank you so much for the opportunity and for making the greatest podcast ever. My clients listen to you all the time.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.